You got to be bold, 'cause you're beautiful. You got to be strong, 'cause you're wonderful. You got to have faith, to have wisdom. Queen, you were built for this. Good evening. Hey, Queens, how are y'all doing tonight? It is another Friday, and it's time for your favorite uplifting podcast, Queen, You Were Built for This. I am your host and steward, Shantoya Perry, and today we will continue with the topic, Freedom to Praise. And of course, I have Tiffany Williams with me here again. We're going to continue this discussion again. And so when we talk about freedom, we're talking about our God-given right to be free to live and choose Him no matter the adversity. As a culture and as a people, freedom is very important to us. For not that long ago, we were enslaved. And it's not taboo to say that we built this country with our sweat, blood, and tears, or blood, sweat, and tears, whatever order you want to say it in our very lives. And that is why exercising our freedom to praise Jesus is essential. Just as with last week's session, here are some more verses that talk about freedom, worship, and praise. So our first scripture, which one's the first one that stood out to you?
Well, Ephesians 1:13-14.
So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14.
And it says, in him also, when we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, we were sealed with a promise, the Holy Spirit, who is the grantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So basically what it's saying is that we have, because of the word of truth that we have heard, because of the word of truth that we believe in, that's the gospel of our salvation. So we have salvation through what we hear and what we have heard, the word of truth. And that if we believe in him, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seals us in salvation. And he is the grantee of our inheritance. So we get our inheritance from the Holy Spirit. And one thing I like about this verse was that it says, praise to the praise of his glory. It's all about God's glory. All about God's glory. All the things that we do, all the things that we go through, all the things that we experience, is all in the end for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And that is an awesome thing.
Yes. So I'm going to talk about, we're going to go to Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. And it says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin has become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, having become slaves of righteousness. And then we don't mean slaves in a sense of, oh, we're bound to this thing and not of choice, just like it was a choice to be a slave to sin. I mean, you know, when you're unsaved, you do everything that you're big and bad enough to do. You do everything that is that you want to do. And it's the same thing when you become saved. You become bound by choice to live for God. And it's freeing. So one of the things that God been speaking to me about is that obedience cost, and I'm going to use the phrase in retrospect, but in retrospect, obedience costs nothing. It costs nothing to be obedient unto God, but sin costs you everything. The wages of sin is death.
Yes.
And so when we make our choice, you know, we say thanks be unto God, we really mean thank you to God, thanks be unto him, that the one who brought us out of our sin. Thank you to Jesus, Holy Christ, for his sacrifice, that we don't have to worry about being in sin any longer, because he literally paid it all. He took all of our sin onto himself, and he bore our sin that we might not know any sin.
Yes. And the Bible says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. So God made Jesus to be sin for us because we were the ones that were sinful and not him.
Right.
So how great is that?
That's extremely great. It's awesome. Because we don't have, we know that he didn't have to do it.
No, he did not.
He could have spoken, literally. He could have spoken and we'd be free.
Yes.
He could have. He could have literally just said words. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to be beaten. He didn't have to be betrayed. He could have just revealed everything that needed to be revealed, and then that was it.
Yep.
But in his supreme knowledge and wisdom, he knew what we would need.
Yes.
And him just simply saying it was not what we needed. We needed to be able to look at and see and actually mentally picture. For some who are visual, God knew that we would be visual people, that we would need to be able to see the ramification of what was our actions.
Yes. Yes, very much so.
He knew that the logical person would need to be able to see this thing that defied logic. Because what Jesus did for us defied all sense of logic. There's no way that a human being could be beaten literally within an inch of their life, carry a cross, then be hung on that cross, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, pierced in his side, a crown of thorns on his head.
He went through it all.
And then for him to give up his ghost. He didn't die just by the simple measure of, he spilled out. No, he could have lasted. And that's the thing that goes beyond logic. And we don't understand, he could have lasted. He willingly gave up his ghost, the Holy Ghost as we know it. Gave it up for us, then was buried in a borrowed tomb, went to hell, snatched keys, came back.
That's the important part. Came back,
spent time with his disciples,
yes,
taught them some more things, and then ascended. He knew that the analytical brain would need to know that.
Yes. Yes.
Would need to be able to see that not only did he defy logic, but he defied analytical thinking as well. As somebody who is both visual and analytical at the same time, I know this to be truth. Okay, I'm a very analytical person. but I'm also a visual person. And that goes beyond anything that my brain could ever analyze. And I am so grateful. Yeah. And so thankful that in his infinite wisdom, he knew what I needed so that I could be saved. Just like he know the same thing that each and every one of us know, that we may be saved, and knew that how it would change the trajectory of how we would praise him.
Yes.
Of how we would worship him. Yes. How we would change the trajectory, ooh, my words don't want a word, of how salvation would look for each and every one of us, because we're talking about freedom, praise, and worship.
Yes.
So it talks about how that speaks to even how it changes the trajectory of how freedom looks for each and every individual person.
Yes, yes, most definitely. Because when you read John 4, 21 through 24, it says, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth."
And I think we read a similar verse last week.
Yes, we did.
And that just shows you just how important it is for us to know. Oh, excuse me.
God bless you.
Thank you. That God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That time is here.
Yes. That time is now.
That time is right now, that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Like, he knows the very heart of his people. So there is no way that we are able to say that we're worshiping in his spirit and truth, but we're not. God knows when we're just clamoring and making noise versus when we're actually in that place of worship.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't know about you, but I don't want my worship to be said that it's like clanging cymbals.
Not at all. Not at all, because clanging cymbals is not nice.
That's annoyance.
That's painful.
It hurts.
It sounds like death.
Let me tell you that if I could equate it to one thing, I would equate it to nails on a chalkboard.
Yes.
The sound of nails scraping against the chalkboard is what I would, in modern time, reference clanging cymbals to be.
Yes. Yes.
Or when you get your kid or somebody get your child a drum set for Christmas,
and they don't keep it at their house,
and they bring it to your house, and your baby want to play with that drum set, specifically the cymbals, because they love how the cymbals sound. Well, see, before they know what they're doing, before they learn how to play those drums, and before they know what they're doing, and before it sounds all beautiful and wonderful, and before it's all rhythmic, you know, it sounds
clash, 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 clash.
It's just clash, clash, clash. It's a clashing that happens. And you don't want your worship to be like that in the ears of God.
No.
You want it to be a sweet smelling savor in his nostrils.
Right. So the next verse that comes to me is John 8:32-36. And it says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we will be made free? Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, everyone that practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains in the house forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So who is the Son?
Jesus is the Son.
And he is saying that I make you free means I shape you, I mold you, I form you to be free. You're not supposed to be in bondage. And more than that, you are a son. You are a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're speaking to women, you are a daughter.
Yes.
You are a daughter. And the daughter abides in a house with the father.
Yes. So if the son makes you free or sets you free from sin, makes you free because he made you free. When he died on the cross for your sins, he made you free. So if the son, whom the son makes free and set and or sets free, you will be free indeed.
Yes.
So you don't have to be a sin to slave, a slave to sin.
You don't have to be a slave to sin. Meaning that those urges, that flesh that means you no good, you have command over your flesh. You can tell your flesh to get back behind me, Satan. And yes, it has to listen to you. So when you be wanting that brand new car, but your finances are saying, we should pay bills. Get back behind me, Satan.
We got to pay them bills.
When your flesh is telling you that, oh, you can have this one little margarita, it's going to be fine.
And you used to have an alcohol problem.
You could say, get back behind me, Satan. Get on with yourself. Get on with my flesh. My flesh does not control me. I control my flesh. Which brings me to John 6:63.
Oh, yes. And it says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life.
Spirit and life. We are both spirit and life. We are human. So we have what is our spiritual life, and we have what is our life. And trust to know that our natural life. Right, natural life. And trust to know that your spirit and your natural life must match up. That you can't be thinking that, oh, as long as I'm doing right in the spirit, I can do wrong in the flesh.
No. Not at all.
Because
that has to line up. You have to give an account.
Yes, for every choice,
for every action. You have to give an account for that. So why risk it?
Why try it? Why put yourself in that position? I mean,
my God himself says, I put before you choices.
Yes.
Life and death. I put before you life and death.
Choose life.
If God himself says choose life, then I, for one, don't want to try risking what'll happen if I choose anything outside of life.
Amen to that. I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to risk my spirit, my soul, because that's what you're risking. You're risking your soul. We have souls. We're not just mind and body, but we have souls, and our souls have a place to go when mm-hmm. all this is said and done. When we close our eyes for the last time, when we breathe our last breath, we have a place to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that place is either in hell or with Jesus. And this is not to scare anybody. I'm not saying this to scare you into salvation. It's just the truth. And we know that we should know the truth, and the truth should make us free.
Amen. That also brings me to Luke chapter 4, verse 8. And it says, and Jesus answered him, who is Jesus speaking to? Jesus was speaking to Satan.
Mm-hmm.
It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So once again, when that flesh is trying to get you to do what you know you ain't got no business doing, when that flesh tries to urge you to say, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.
Yes.
You can speak to your flesh.
Yes. You have command over your flesh. You have command over your mind. Because the battlefield is in the mind.
We talked about this last week. Battlefield is in the mind. And when you know that, when you for real believe that God has made you to overcome.
Yes.
And that he has made you victorious.
Yes.
The praise that comes from knowing that you are victorious and that you are an overcomer.
It's different.
It hits way different. And that take, knowing that, being steadfast in that knowledge brings you to a praise and to a worship. See, we worship God for who he is. We worship God because he is all knowing, he is all powerful. We worship him because he's loving, and his love is from everlasting to everlasting, from generation to generation. We worship him because he's worthy of the worship. We Amen. Worship him because he is the creator of all things. We worship him because
he is God.
He is God. And what I was about to say is, we worship him because he created us and knitted us together in our mother's womb. From the foundation of the world began, he knew us. He knew us from that long ago.
Yes.
So we're not a mystery to him.
Nothing about us is a mystery.
He may be complex to us. You know, because his ways is not our ways. His mind is not our mind. His thought are not our thoughts. So he might be a little bit complex to us, but we are in no way complex to him.
No.
He is not taken by surprise or caught off guard or any of that. When we do the things that we do and we make the decisions that we make. And so I love Jeremiah 33 and 11. Now we know Jeremiah, that's where Jeremiah 29 and 11 come from. For I know the plans that I think towards you. But that's not the verse that I'm thinking of that we're concentrating on today. The verse that we're concentrating on today from Jeremiah is Jeremiah 33 and 11. The voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voices of those who sing as they bring thanks offerings to the house of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the lands as at first, saith the Lord. So we're talking about give thanks unto the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Okay, depending on the version that you're reading, it may possibly say something different. Because that's the beautiful thing about translations, mm-hmm. is every translation says something just a little bit different. But his steadfast love.
Steadfast love.
Meaning that it's unmovable.
It's unshakable.
You can't break it up. You can't jumble it up. You can't confuse it. His steadfast love endures forever. And then Psalm, the 103rd number of Psalm, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
There is benefits to being a child of God. There is benefits. Does that mean that you're not going to go through stuff? Absolutely not. Because the Bible tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous,
but God shall deliver us from them all.
So,
and we praise God for that deliverance.
Yes. And it also says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. the weapon is going to form.
Mm-hmm.
The weapon is going to be
definitely
there.
It's going
there's
to form.
There's going to be potholes in our way, but if we follow God,
yes,
He will take us around those potholes.
Yes, He gonna help us get around the ditches.
Yes,
and the pitfalls.
Yes,
but we have to ever so careful, excuse me, because my nose is acting a mess right now, but we have to be ever so careful to listen to Him.
Absolutely.
To submit ourselves to Him.
Absolutely.
So praise helps us to submit ourselves.
Yes, it does.
To God.
Yes, because when you're praising, when you're worshiping, you are acknowledging that there is something greater than you.
Mm-hmm.
You are acknowledging that there is something more than you. You are acknowledging that there is something that is worthy of your praise and worthy of your worship.
And not just something, but someone.
But someone. And you are, what's the right word? It's not coming to me. You are full of this knowledge that God is worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Full of the knowledge.
Yes,
that God is deserving.
Yeah, it is a feeling. It's a feeling.
It's this knowledge that comes from when you have been beaten and downtrodden.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, life flows.
Yes.
And then you're like, yes, life is here to rejuvenate me,
yes,
to restore me.
Okay, so I have to jump to two of these other scriptures that stood out to me that when you were speaking of, because when we get beat down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the 34th number of Psalm, verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord and He answered me and He delivered me from all of my fears.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 118th number of Psalm said, out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free.
Yes. Yes.
And one of the reasons I think about those together is because sometimes when you're in a place of distress, fear tries to creep in.
Yes.
When you're in a place of, oh my goodness, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know how to turn the situation around. God, when you begin to feel overwhelmed, being overwhelmed causes anxiety. It causes panic. It causes fear.
It causes stress.
Distress causes all those things. But God is such an amazing God that He knew exactly what we would need to hear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for I have not given you a spirit of fear, but I've given you power, love, and a sound mind.
Yes.
So you don't have to worry about the fear that comes.
None whatsoever. And He delivers you from all of your fears.
All of them.
Not some of them.
Not a few of the fears.
Not just one or two.
All of your fears. And if you want to make it personal, all of my fears.
My fears.
So anything that I could have ever had a fear of, I sought the Lord and He answered me and He delivered me from all of my fears.
All of my fears.
I'm going to make it even more personal. Shatwaya sought the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And He answered Shatwaya,
mm-hmm,
and delivered Shatwaya from all of Shatwaya's fears.
Out of Tiffany's distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered Tiffany and set Tiffany free.
Because we can make it personal.
Find yourself in the book.
Let me tell you something. God is a relational God.
Yes, He is.
Praise is relational.
Oh, say that again. Yes.
God is a relational God, and so therefore your praise is relational. That's relationship between you and God. And yeah. So
you said that.
So that means that the worship is relational. That praise is relational. That freedom is relational. That don't mean go back and try it again. That don't mean go tip and dip back in the water.
No.
Just because he died for you. No. Try your best. The Bible says he perfects that which concerns you. Try your best.
Yes. Try your best.
But the beautiful thing is it's relational. So that means that my praise, my worship does not look like Tiff's praise.
And my worship don't look like Twyla's praise or her worship.
Now you might see some similarities, but that's because when you around somebody for a long enough amount of time,
you begin to
you
gravitate to each other's habits and yes. grow. But that's with everybody. That's with anybody that you spend time with. So who are you spending your time with becomes a thing then. Because if it's relational and if you're spending time with God, the more time you spend with God, the more you're going to look like God. The more time you spend with Jesus,
the more you're going to sound like Jesus.
Come on now.
And it's it. Ooh, go ahead.
And it's inevitable. Because the word of God says, be as dear little children, be imitators of Christ.
Yes.
And children imitate those who they admire. So do you admire Jesus?
Oh, that's
good. Do you adore Jesus?
Do you admire him? Because I admire that man that was asleep in the middle of a storm.
Yes.
I admire that man that was just walking in the midst of the waters.
Yes.
I admire him. I admire that man that told Satan, it is written, get thee behind me, Satan. I admire Jesus. I strive every day the best I can to walk like him, to sound like him, to look like him. I strive.
To love like he loves.
To love like him.
Like he has mercy, to have grace. Like he has grace. Do we fall short?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But let me tell you about praise though.
Yes.
In the midst of all of that, let me tell you about this praise. It's something about it that lifts you up,
yes.
that bears you up. Even when you having those rough moments, even when you having those I can't make it moments, even when some people are downright getting on your nerves. Okay, mm-hmm. Even when those introverted moments come up and you've reached your max for people, that praise carries you through. The Bible says in the 95th number of Psalm, verse 2, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise, right? And then, because God be so good. David was in that thing, okay?
Yes, he was.
David was in this thing.
David was a worshiper.
And we can talk about David because not only was he a worshiper and he was a man after God's own heart, he made mistakes. And we know about the mistakes that David made. We know about those mistakes that David made, okay? But David was a man after God's own heart because he repented.
Yes.
Because he knew his wrongs. He saw them and he sought God. And he asked God's forgiveness and he turned away, because repenting means to turn away from it. Not 360, but 180.
Yes. Because 360 is just turning back around.
Yes, but
it's
one,
just like,
that's a full circle. But a 180 means that you turn whoop, and you don't face that sin again. And even when you fall short, you can repent and you can ask God for forgiveness. You thank God for forgiveness. There goes that praise.
Mm-hmm.
You thank him for being able to do all things but fail. You thank him for making you more than a conqueror. And then you keep on. Praise help. I can't speak for nobody else, but praise help me to forgive myself.
Oh, that's deep.
When I praise God, it helps me to forgive myself. When I'm being hard on myself.
Mm-mm.
When I don't feel as compassionate towards myself as I should feel. Whew, y'all. Something about the praise of the Lord that helps you in those moments. The 100th number of Psalm verses 1-5 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. There go that steadfast love again. There goes that steadfast love again.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely. And I love what you said about how praise and worship helps you to forgive yourself. Because when you're in the presence of God, you see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You see all of you. You see the good, the bad, the ugly, and most of it is ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But God's grace also comes in.
Yes.
And it washes you clean.
Because his grace is sufficient.
His grace is powerful. And his love is so phenomenal. Mm-hmm. We serve a phenomenal God.
Phenomenal God.
And through Jesus, we are able to love ourselves because he loved us even in our mess and our sin and our degradation and our wrongdoings and our mess and our drama and our chaos. He loved us through it all. He did not shudder one bit. He did not close his eyes and say, "Oop, I do not want to see this sin. This sin is beyond me." No.
Ooh,
no, he did not.
He did not say that the sin was beyond him.
He said, "No, I will take that sin upon myself. Ooh. I will get the nails pierced in my hands for every time you stole something, for
Jesus.
Every time you hit somebody, for every time you did something with your hands that you had no business doing. I'm going to take this crown of thorns upon my head for every malicious thought, for every ungodly thought, for every unrighteous, unholy, darn right, no good thought that you've had.
My God, my
God. I'm going to take this piercing in your side for every moment that you decided that you was going to go follow the flesh instead of following the spirit. Every moment that you decided that you was going to go into the sin of gluttony, go into the sin of pride, go into the sin of oh Jesus, oh my God, my God, my God,
low
my
self-esteem,
God. Just the pureness of his love for us is beyond anything that we could ever ask, hope, or think. He was pierced in his feet for the places that we go that we have no business going. This is what he did for us.
Ooh.
So our praise, our worship, all the glory, all the honor, all the magnificence,
the magnanimousness of his glory, of his presence, of his being. Mm-hmm. And he is a magnanimous God.
He's a magnificent God. He is truly an awesome and beautiful God.
He is wonderful. Y'all, this has been a good series to me.
Yes, it has. Freedom. Freedom to worship. Freedom to praise. Freedom to see yourself the way that God sees you. Freedom to love the way that God wants you to love. Freedom to have joy.
Yes. Because God wants you to have joy.
Yes.
And then the beautiful thing about praise is that joy comes through that praise. And you know what they say about this joy that I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. And that being said, y'all, please, 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 please remember, Queens, that you were built for this. And y'all have an awesome and fantastic night. I love you all.
See you in 2 weeks.